This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Tony Gwynn Jr. is in New York, where the Padres take on the Yankees again this evening. Matt Scraby is alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Padres going for the series win today. Try to shake off a one bad inning last night, Tony. And it happened very quickly. The Yankees hit a bunch of line drives all over Yankee Stadium. I think they had seven hits in that bottom of the seventh inning. And Austin Wells finished it off with the grand slam. So you chalk that one up. I mean, it's the first time, and that's officially the first time, statistically, that the Padres' bullpen has let any kind of lead get away in the seventh inning or later this season. I'd say 35 games into the season, still not too bad, Tony. It was a tough night, but we can live with one.
Yeah, Yankees are a good team, too.
And, yeah, right, yeah.
In that inning, they unleashed that offense. And, yeah, there was a lot of hard-hit baseballs from off of Morty Hone, off of Wandy Peralta. And you're right. It's the first time we've seen anything, you know, like it. And, you know, I think because of it, you know, it's easy to fall into the trap of, oh, woe is us. But it was just one bad inning, as you said. And so you get back on the horse here tonight, and it won't be any easier. Max Fried rolling in for the Yankees, probably throwing the ball as well as he ever has this early in the season, and it will be a challenge. I will say the Padres, over the last few times they faced Max, have made it tough on him, and I expect that this lineup will do the same here tonight, even though he's throwing the baseball as well as he has.
Couple of things. First on the bullpen, the team ERA for the bullpen went up 0.66 last night, almost two-thirds of a run just in that one inning. Went from 1.68, which is really, really ridiculous. We could not have possibly expected the bullpen to keep 1.68 up all year. But from there to 2.34, which still leads baseball. So that shows you how far ahead of everybody they were in the bullpen, that they could afford to give up a 10-run inning and still have the best bullpen ERA in baseball. Secondly, talk about Max Fried. And you're absolutely right, Tony. 6-0, he's got a 1.01 ERA. His whip is under 1. Yeah, he's got good numbers, and you're unlikely to score a whole bunch of runs against him today unless you're able to harken your way back to Game 2 of the playoffs last year. Max Fried pitched for the Braves in Game 2 here at Petco Park. Padres touched him up for that, remember that five-run inning, and went on to win that game 5-4, but they had Max Fried knocked out of that game after two innings of work. Now, you know, I'm not necessarily expecting that again today, but you said it. They've had good success against Max Fried, and hopefully they can continue it.
Yeah, I also said they're going to make him work. That's kind of a cold way of saying there won't be a lot of runs in this game tonight,
right?
Because I expect that he's going to be pretty good. And you know, I think, you know, I as much as I would love to harken back to that playoff game, he seems to be pitching a lot different.
And yeah, so he is.
I think ultimately, I think the Padres have done some of their best work against starting pitchers like this. And it doesn't mean that they've gone out and had this tremendous offense. It's just they do what is necessary or what they need to do in order to try to get the victory. And I don't expect that to change much here today as they go up against, you could argue, the best one they've seen so far this year.
You know, Max Fried, you got to give him some credit here. A lot of guys, most guys, go to the Yankees after pitching in relative obscurity. And I'm going to say Atlanta's not completely obscure, but certainly not the bright lights of New York City. And it always seems to take a while to adjust, right? You see guys struggle a little bit, and, you know, the attention. Max Fried's gone on there. Like you said, Tony's pitched better than he's ever pitched. So he's obviously taking a liking. Listen, he's taking a liking to the bright lights in New York.
It's not cut out. It's not for everybody. You see, in his case, right. It seems to be fit him like he was born here. And then a guy like Devin Williams has struggled immensely.
Yes.
And so it is. And listen, it wasn't. He didn't choose to come to New York. He was traded to New York. So it's a lot different. Max Fried was a free agent. He said, I want to pitch in that situation, and he seems to be thriving. A lot like, CC Sabathia. He went from Cleveland, relative obscurity, to Milwaukee, relative obscurity, to the big lights, and he thrived. And
yeah,
so
you're right.
There are guys who are built to come out here, and I'd say that pool of people is a lot smaller than the pool of people who may think that they're ready for it or just plain up not ready for it come here and it's heavy.
I think you could bring up a great point, Tony. Max Fried last year, by the way, in that playoff against the Padres, pitched two innings plus. They got him for eight hits in that ball game and five runs. He gave up a home run as well. So, it was a short outing for Max. I'm sure it'll be on his mind tonight as he faces this Padre club again. Now, on the other side tonight, we could all sleep a lot easier if we get a great performance from Dylan Cease. I don't think there's not a lot to complain about this year, right? The team is incredible. They're 23-12. They're, having a great year. But individually, we haven't seen the Dylan Cease we're kind of used to seeing. And there's a lot of numbers that back that up, Tony. But, the ERA is almost two runs higher than his career average. The whip is 1.6. It used to be 1.2. I think the strikeout thing kind of stands out to me a little. Now, he's not lasting as long into games. But last year, 17 times he struck out seven or more. This year, he did it in his first two starts, but he hasn't done it in any of the last five. I don't know that there's anything wrong or right, but one good performance from Dylan Cease tonight would go a long way to kind of calming everybody down. Agreed?
Agreed. I don't know if you guys just saw John Morosi walk into our shot there to say hello, but
I didn't. No, we're watching.
He's talking about on the StreamYard.
I wasn't watching that. Oh, hey, John Morosi.
I'm sorry. I kind of got distracted.
No worries. No, Dylan Cease, your thoughts. I mean, yeah. 1-2 seven starts, Tony.
I think Dylan is due for one of those starts.
Yeah, and right?
He kind of has, for the most part this season, done either just enough or, far below what you expect of him when he takes the mound. He hasn't really commanded the baseball with the type of consistency that we've seen him, especially last year. And you can tell at times he's kind of been searching. I do think his breaking ball in the last start, his slider looked a lot sharper. And I think that's where it starts for him. If you think back to last year, he threw that bad boy a lot, and I think he is still throwing it a lot, but it wasn't getting the same results. I thought in his last start, you started to see the sharpness. So you hope that there's some carryover to that. You hope that he can kind of get back into the groove of commanding the baseball, which is one of the things that makes him difficult. He fills up the strike zone a ton when he's going well. And so we just haven't seen that version of him. I have a feeling he's due for it here tonight.
Interestingly, Tony.
Be a good time for it, certainly.
Yes, it would. And he's probably going to need it tonight because, as we said, Max Fried isn't going to probably give up too much the other side. I looked this up, though, just because I was thinking about the same thing you were. Is he getting strikes? Is he throwing as many strikes? Last year for the season, he averaged 63% strikes. This year, 63% strikes. So what does that tell me? It tells me that he's been wild in the strike zone. He's getting strikes, but he's not making them good strikes. He's not hitting the corners. He's catching too much of the plate. And as a result, Dylan Cease, who's a no-hit type of pitcher, we know he has that kind of stuff, Tony, has given up 39 hits in 33 innings. And so he's just giving up too much. You know, he's making bad strikes rather than good ones or pitcher strikes.
It all kind of comes together, right? I mean, he's certain, man, a lot of times we are thinking outside the zone, but it's equally, if you can't command it in the zone, you're gonna get hurt at this level.
And yeah, right. Yeah.
We've seen that from time. But even that being the case, when he needs to put something on the edges, he just hasn't been able to do that with the consistency that we saw him last year. And so, you know, that forces you to kind of move a little bit more onto that white 17-inch plate, and all of a sudden, you know, you're getting hit hard. And so it would be a good time, certainly, tonight, because we just watched the Yankees in that eighth inning and how they turned it up offensively against two really good pitchers who have been good all season. It'd be nice for Dylan. I think it would be in his best interest against this particular offense to be able to find that groove tonight.
Dylan Cease, I looked this up, Tony, because I have nothing else to do during the mornings. He threw his no-hitter on July 25th last year, and that gave him a record of 10-8, and his ERA was at that point 3.50. He's made 18 starts since then, the end of last year and the beginning of this year. In those 18 starts, he's 5-5. His ERA is 4.48, so it's about a run higher than it was at the time of the no-hitter. I'm not saying anything changed. What I'm saying is what we're talking about. We haven't really seen the Dylan Cease we know, you know, is there. And it's, you know, been a little bit of a lengthy spell. So, you know, tonight, as you said, this is my eyes are going to be on him tonight. The other guys,
sure.
Jackson Merrill last night, comes right out swinging, couple of quick hits. Did you, and we got to go to the break here, but did you notice that the other outfielders took charge a couple of times instead of Jackson Merrill? Fly balls to left and right field and some base hits that, I wonder if that was by design last night just because they didn't want him to push it. Did you notice that or did I just notice it or make it up?
I might have noticed the Gonzalez play,
but
I thought Gonzalez did the right thing because his momentum was going towards home plate, whereas Jackson was going more towards the left field line, and he wouldn't have been able to get a good throw on it.
Okay.
I didn't notice it outside of that. It probably was more just rust. You know, he hasn't been out there in terms of playing with those particular guys. I don't know how much he's played with Gonzalez to his left or to his right in that case. But either way, I didn't notice it or make it a big deal. I thought it was a big deal, I think.
All right, Padres got one.
We don't need Oscar Gonzalez to run into Jackson Merrill. He's a very large human being, and that was scary for
me. I saw Tatis go over into, you know, pretty deep into center when Merrill was there, and Fernando made the catch. I think that was because they felt he had the better throw on that play.
Well, but he has just the arm, so.
He does. It was just a couple of notices. I don't know that it was by design. It probably was not. Padres are 4-1 on the road trip, which is, you know, outstanding. And I'm saying they win tonight, they'll finish 8-1. Sorry, I have no respect for the Rockies. So a lot at stake tonight. Get the series in New York and wrap things up in good shape. Gwynn and Chris underway. We only have an hour.
I just want to say that my prediction is looking all right now in terms of what he's going to finish on this road trip when you asked us last week. It's looking pretty decent right now.
What'd you say, 8-1?
I can't remember what I said. I think it was only two losses, two or three losses.
I think it was two losses. I was 6-3.
I'm feeling 8-1, man, because they win this, they should steamroll.
Oh, wait, you
through.
Changed it up? I thought yours was a lot stronger the other way the last time.
Because we asked it in the Big Five before they even played
I was
the Giants.
I was 6-3 on this road trip, officially. But I
won't need to check the tape.
I won't accept that at this
point. I think
you're
going to have to check the tape.
All right, check
Great,
the tape.
I don't want to check the tape.
Go check the tape. We'll take a break on 97.3 The Fan.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
1-2 pitch is hit in the air to deep left field. Laureano is back. He is at the wall. Oh, my goodness. It's going to go. Kyle Higashioka takes it out for the second consecutive night and a 1-1 game here in the second inning.
Kyle Higashioka, remember that guy? Not having the same success this year.
He's also injured
in
right
Texas.
Now.
Yes, he's on the injured list as well. Chrisello, Matt Scraby back. That was game two of the NL Divisional Series last year. Kyle Higashioka homering off of Max Fried, and that triggered a five-run rally, that home run, and the Padres knocked Fried out of the ballgame, went on to beat the Braves 5-4, and take a 2-0 lead, and actually win the series, two games to three. So that was last year. Tonight will be tonight, as Max Fried brings his 1.01 ERA into tonight's game against Dylan Cease. I don't even want to say the struggling Dylan Cease. I just want to say...
I think that's fair.
Okay, but just not the Dylan Cease I've been looking at.
The slightly off Dylan Cease.
Yes, he can be so dominating. And he just, frankly, has not been this year. You know, we'll see what he can do tonight. He's going to have to pitch well against a really good Yankee team. By the way, last night, the 10 runs the Padre bullpen gave up in the seventh inning, that's the most runs the Padres have given up out of their bullpen in a game.
Yeah.
Since 2011.
I thought 2011. Wow.
14 years was the last time the Padre bullpen gave up 10 runs in a game.
You tongue-tied me. I did not expect to hear 2011.
2011. So, you know, it's been a long time. It's hard for a bullpen to give up that many runs. You don't usually pitch that long,
yeah,
you know, out of the bullpen. But, it happened quick. Wandy Peralta made some bad pitches right down the middle of the plate, and they were against left-handed hitters, and they just kept slamming balls into right and right center field. Bellinger hit him hard.
Yeah.
Lefty. Wells hit the grand slam. He's a lefty. Those are the kind of guys that, you know, Wandy's been getting out in his sleep this year. And it didn't happen last night. Morejon put the ball in the middle of the plate as well. That's what will happen to big league hitters if you do that.
Real quick, before we move on from Wandy, because I see a lot of Wandy hate.
Oh,
on
I
me.
Know. It's over.
Okay.
Can we package him with Xander Bogaerts and get him out of here?
People, he has given up, outside of last night, in his, how many appearances has he had this year? Games. Why didn't I? 15
He's been in
games.
15 games.
He's only given up runs in three of those games, including last night, and the other two games, he only gave up one run. So he had a bad game.
Coming into the game last night, he'd given up two earned runs all year. All right? His ERA went from 1.35 to 5.14. And unfortunately, in the world of a relief pitcher, that's what happens if you have an inning like that. But, you know, he's going to have to pitch well for the next, like, 2 months to get his ERA back down. But, yeah, it was a bad outing. Like I said, if you want to package Wandy Peralta and Xander Bogaerts and the rest of them, move them, ship them out, you're not going to be a very good runner of a baseball team. Honestly, if every time a guy goes into a hitting slump or has a bad outing, you're not going to have any players left by mid-May.
Yeah, I get it. It
happens to everybody.
It's not fun to watch that happen.
I don't like it.
Don't love seeing Austin Wells hit a grand slam while they're already crushing the Padres. But yeah. Tonight, they could win the game.
Well, what I don't like is Austin Wells hitting a grand slam, and Slam Diego still doesn't have one this year.
That's true. And nor do they have a three-run
home
run.
Yes, I know.
And now I'm watching for it.
I know, me too. It's reached 171 plate appearances now for the year with no three-run homers or grand slams. It's got to happen. Tonight would be a good night for it. Try to get a couple of guys on, a blooper, a walk, and then put three on the board, you know, because you might need that to beat Max Fried. It's going to be hard to string together hit after hit after hit against a guy pitching as well as he is. Giants won again today at the Cubs, 3-1. It's just gone final. Last night, the Giants did something that hadn't been done ever.
Okay, I've seen this, but I haven't clicked the article yet. So
in the history of Wrigley Field, ever, they had a 9-run extra inning.
Oh.
That doesn't happen, again, very similar to what the Yankees did. That just doesn't happen. You don't get 9 runs in one extra inning. The Giants did.
If it's never happened at Wrigley?
Never.
Then it doesn't happen often.
No. So the Giants win that series 2-1. It's not like I'm overly concerned about the Giants, but they went 2-1 at Yankee Stadium. Hopefully the Padres can duplicate that tonight. They went 2-1 at the Cubs. They went 2-2 at Philadelphia. They went 3-0 at Houston. Those are pretty good teams, and the Giants have won those series. You know,
you're forgetting one thing, though.
Right, they went 0-2 here, and that's a big deal.
And so, they lost to the Rockies at home.
One game, yeah.
At home!
Yes, you're allowed one game. That's it. You're going to play the Rockies 13 times this year, the Giants, the Padres, everybody. You're allowed maybe 2 losses maximum. That's it. So, you know, I'm not expecting it to be this weekend. I think the Padres should go in there and roll 3 straight. And that's why if they can win tonight, you know, an 8-1 road trip would be incredible. I'm getting way far ahead of myself, but I think I have the right to.
I think we all think about it.
You have the right to the way the Rockies are playing right now. Yes, they won one game in San Francisco. Then the last three, it was just a disaster. Giants blew them out.
Yeah.
So the Rockies, yes, the blind squirrel thing, they can find it. They can win a game.
Mm-hmm.
They can't win a series. They haven't yet. They've been in 11 series. They're 0-11. They haven't even split a series yet. So
that's pretty brutal.
It's about as bad as a team can be. And, you know, I know the people are, you know, like Woodsy is still scared to death of the Rockies.
I kind of don't blame him.
I get it for what's happened in the past, but the Rockies have never been this in the past. Never. Not this bad. I mean, this is historically bad,
yeah,
as we've talked about. But anyway, we got to take care of the Yankees tonight first. You win this series, it's going to be a big deal. You win the series. You got a little help from the Dodgers losing last night,
yep,
to the Marlins.
Yep.
Dodgers and Marlins are playing again right now. I think it's scoreless early in the game there. But look, last night happened, and it hadn't happened all year, where you took a lead into the seventh inning and put your bullpen out there and lost the lead. That's insane. If it doesn't if it happens every 35 games, that means it would happen maybe 6 times this year. That would be incredible.
And I would probably only remember like the latest one.
You'd remember them all and go, God, we seem like we blow leads all the time around here.
James says on the chat, if you want to watch us, you can go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. You can see Chris and myself,
yay,
our beautiful faces.
Here we are.
I'd rather have the pen fall apart like they did in one night than struggle throughout the year. Anyone complaining should just look at the record and shut up.
Yeah, and the pen didn't struggle. 2 guys did. Right? It wasn't everybody. It was Jason Adam didn't give
up
10
runs. Well, they represent the pen.
They do. But Jason Adam didn't cough it up. Estrada didn't cough it up.
Well, that would never happen.
Right? And so your main guys and Suarez didn't go. Don't say never. Anybody can give up a 10.
I'm knocking on wood.
I'm telling you, man. It happened quick last night.
It did.
Like, it was a blink of an eye. It happened.
I didn't give up on the game, But after the Austin Wells Grand Slam, I went outside with Lucky.
Dodgers keep getting bad news. We told you yesterday, Teoscar Hernandez to the IL, quote, will be out a while. No timetable at all for his return. Groin injury, grade one, groin strain.
Yeah,
today,
bad.
Evan Phillips, second time this year, goes on the injured list. They're already without Blake Treinen. They're already without Michael Kopech. Snell and the starters, who's the
Glass
other one? Glass now.
Kershaw's still
Kershaw,
away.
You know, Kershaw, by the way, six no-hit innings in one of his rehab starts the other night. So maybe he's getting back into form. We'll see. But, yeah, the Dodgers have a lot of injury problems. They have a Michael Conforto problem. He hasn't had a hit in like a month. And Dave Roberts is like, well, we're going to stay with him.
We're going to let him swing through it.
Yeah, he can't do anything. They finally brought Hye-Sung Kim up.
Oh yeah, I did
to
see
the
that.
big leagues. But the Dodgers, it's not going that smoothly for them. We're focused on what we should focus on, but you know they are there for the taking. If the Padres can get this one tonight, I believe they'll go into Colorado and mow them down. Look to come home next week in first place, Scraby.
I would love for that.
With a win tonight, I think we can do it.
Who do they come home to? They come home to the rain or no.
Who's here next week?
Next week it's Scrabinator
night's on
Scrabinator night, Monday night.
Angels
yeah.
and Mariners.
Yeah. All right. Well look.
The Vetter Cup.
Ahead of the Vetter Cup though, after tonight, Rockies, Angels. These are two not very good teams.
These are winnable games.
So tonight would be a nice springboard into that. All right, Gwynn and Chris comes back with our Big Five, and that's next. Scraby, you'll see what he's got.
We're going to talk about tipping pitches because that was a thing with Wandy last night. We're also going to talk about NBA on NBC is doing something for their
coverage. I heard about this.
And I will play you some audio to prove what they're doing. All next.
I can't wait.
On the Big Five.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five.
All right, we got the Big Five, and then we'll turn it over to Sam Levitt. Audrey pregame show coming up. Top of the hour. Tony, of course, was with us at the beginning today. Now, getting ready for the broadcast, he and Jesse will have it from Yankee Stadium. Yeah, I walked in there last year for the one game able to go to. And when you walk in just as a normal fan, not from the media entrance or wherever, all of that, just going in and you see the banners, and there's Babe Ruth. And Lou Gehrig.
He's there?
He's there. He's on a banner.
He must be looking pretty terrible.
For the Babe, he still could waddle around the bases probably. But, you see these banners. I mean, we see Tony Gwynn and maybe Dave Winfield.
Yeah.
And those are great players. But they don't carry the cachet. Even Tony. Nobody carries the cachet of Babe Ruth's name. Gehrig, DiMaggio, Mantle. It's just incredible to be at Yankee Stadium,
I think. I've never been, but I definitely want to go, and I can imagine walking in. Because when I walked into Wrigley, even though Wrigley's not, it's storied, but it's not as storied as the Yankees franchise, but you walk in and you just feel like, man, Babe Ruth played here. Some of those, the biggest names in the sports history have actually played on this field, which I think is cool.
And also, I would tell people, if you ever go to Fenway Park.
Park.
A great way to get in with the locals at Fenway Park. So mention you're from San Diego because they love San Diego because that's where Ted Williams is from.
Oh, okay.
It carries weight in Boston.
Oh, yes, it definitely
you
carries
go, hey,
weight.
You go, hey, I'm from San Diego. Like, oh, Ted Williams, we love you. Come on over. Have a free hot dog. No, not quite.
But I'll never forget. I've already told this
story.
The
San Diego connection, Ted Williams, works for you in Boston.
Yeah, it does. I will never forget the time that I went to Fenway, and I was a drinker at the time. We did Sweet Caroline in the seventh inning stretch, and it was one of the most amazing moments
of my
life.
What was your rendition like? Sweet Caroline.
No, I wasn't singing. I just went, bah, bah, bah. That's all I had to do.
Did you do the Rob Manfred version of Sweet Caroline?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I felt like I was carrying a tune, but I don't think so.
Speaking of Boston, Celtics Knicks tonight, followed by Denver, Oklahoma City. One of the strangest things ever is that there have been five NBA games played in this round of the playoffs, conference semifinals. The visiting teams won them all. That also has never happened before. Visiting team, the Warriors, win last night. Minnesota misses its first 16 threes of the game. But, you know, just keep chucking them. Keep on throwing them up there. And I know the Warriors won without Steph Curry. He got hurt in the second quarter, and he's not going to be back. He's going to miss at least the next 2 games, maybe 3.
Yeah, that's big. That's a huge deal.
It's huge. I know the Warriors won one. Can they keep winning without him? It's going to be tough. They're going to have to hope Minnesota continues to play as badly as they did. And Cleveland, they had 3 starters out last night. They still almost beat Indiana. But Tyrese Halliburton saved the day with a beautiful last-second 3-pointer.
I did see that.
To win that game. So
did his dad run on the court yelling at people?
I think his dad was, probably not. all right, so the NBA, can the home teams finally win a game tonight? Very strange. Let's go to Scraby now for today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Before we get into it.
You always sound like you're going to be Jim Carrey there.
Why? All righty then.
Yes, that's how you lead into that.
You know what it is?
Or Ace Ventura, I guess, would be better.
You know what it is? It's called a crutch word.
Yeah, a little crutch for
I
you.
I do this on the Scraby Show. Whenever I'm done with my point and I'm moving on to another, I go, all right. And every time I say it, I'm like, crutch word.
All righty then. You know, when I think of Ace Ventura, everybody thinks of maybe one thing from that movie. All I can think of is him walking out of that restroom.
Do not go in there. Woo!
That is one of the funniest moments, I think.
Yes.
All right.
I agree.
Okay, move on.
The Sour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Frozen Ropes, San Diego. Message from Coach Kurt with Frozen Ropes. Is your child 6 to 12 years old? Our baseball summer league is the perfect fit for your player. Starting June 16th through August 17th, summer league includes 8 practices, 8 games. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. That's SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com.
Number 5.
All right, we're going to talk about tipping pitches because there's a lot going on online today about Wandy Peralta and whether or not he was tipping pitches.
So, look like it. I must say.
I mean, when you say it like that, when you see the result, yes, it's very
squaring
easy to
up
say
every
that.
Pitch he made. I mean, every ball was just drilled.
Now, the question is, well, first off, I'm trying to figure out, is he's not using hand signals, right? He's using pitch
right.
calm. But so how do we tip pitches?
Well, I'm going to try to tell you, but it's very...
Is it a setup?
It can be as simple as this, and I'll just give you an example because I don't know what it is with him or anybody else. But let's say you're going to throw a fastball. Maybe when you come to your set, you pause your hands at your stomach.
Yes.
But for your curveball, you pause at your waist.
Yeah. Because
and they can see the difference.
Yes.
Something like that is what you're talking about on tipping pitches. And you've got to give credit to these baseball people who find this stuff and really look for it.
Yeah.
And say, whoa, that's probably going to be a curveball. Doesn't mean they're stealing the pitches. Means they picked up on something. And
now,
that's legal tender.
It is legal. It's just fine. Also, Wandy Peralta was a Yankee for a very long time, so they also know his tells. They also know his pitching.
Yeah.
So here's my question, because everybody is blaming it on pitch tipping.
Okay.
Do we think pitch tipping is a lazy argument?
It isn't if it's right. And let's be honest, if they honestly were onto something, they should score 8 runs off him.
Yeah.
Because if you know what pitch is coming, it becomes much easier.
Look at the Astros.
So, to me, it's on, you know, Wandy Peralta and Ruben and the Padres, if that was a thing, to make sure they clean it up next time. Nick Pivetta, same thing, right? Giants figured they had him figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Bailey was basically giving the sign, standing at second base. But that's because it's something Nick Pivetta was doing.
Yes.
So he has to clean that up. If you're a pitcher, you better clean it up.
Ruben come out on 2-2.
In the Giant game, he came out. He did not come out
Ruben
last.
I'm saying Ruben Abel, like Ruben, like I'm his best friend.
I know our guy, Ruben. Ruby. Just Ruby. Call him Ruby.
Okay, Ruby came out 2-2.
And they changed it up and they got the out. Yeah, the Padres didn't pick up on it, but maybe the Yankees did. Or maybe just somebody said that happened and now everyone's running with it. That could be it, too.
I don't think it's necessarily a lazy argument because, again, I don't really know what I'm looking for. But I don't think it's just one of those things where you can just be like, oh, he gave up 6 runs. He was tipping his pitches.
Well,
I'm not saying this to disparage fans, but it's always a fan that brings this up.
Yes, they bring this up. And here's the other thing. If he was tipping his pitches last night, why wasn't he tipping his pitches the first 14 times he pitched this
year?
When
he only gave up 2 right. earned runs.
So you got to ask yourself
I'm thinking the Yankees just knew how to pitch him or to hit him.
I'm also,
and maybe some knowing things are going on.
No, some very simple things. He threw meatballs.
Oh.
And
meatballs are bad.
Yeah.
In baseball, meatballs
are
bad. You
throw meatballs, they don't even have to know what's coming. They're going to crush it.
I love meatballs, but not in baseball. Number 4. NBC announced today, it will recreate the voice of former NBA announcer Jim Fagan, who died in 2017, using AI generation tools for, quote, select title sequences, show opens, and promos for its upcoming NBA coverage, end quote. The network did upload a sample of what's to come on their YouTube page, so here is the old version, the original version with...
This is NBA on NBC back in the Michael Jordan days.
This is actually from NBA Finals, 1998. So Jazz,
98?
Bulls.
Jordan, yeah.
Here
okay.
is what he did in 98.
This is the NBA on NBC. The 1998 NBA Finals.
All right, so that's
okay,
the voice.
I remember that. I remember that voice.
That's
it brings
the voice.
Me right back to it.
Now,
okay.
Here is the AI-generated voice that NBC is going to be using.
Okay.
The NBA on NBC is back. See you this October for the NBA season tip-off.
I'm a little creeped out about how similar it is.
It's really it's similar.
A little creeped out, but my question for this is, and I'm up first, do you like this or should we move forward with a new voice? They got the family's approval. I'm not saying anything about the original announcer, but I do not like it when we keep forcing the past into the present. Why can't there be a new voice going forward? Why can't there be a new voice guy? Making an AI voice, I'm not going to be watching NBA on NBC because his voice is in there. And I understand this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I just don't know that we need AI voices from the past.
Are you turning into the game because he's doing the voice? At the beginning to introduce the game? Absolutely not.
No, but that's what they...
So,
yeah.
Right. So why can't somebody else do it, number one? Number two, you know I hate AI. I wish I could stop it, but I can't. Progress is just going to...
Just go unplug a bunch of things.
Right? Progress is just going to keep rolling over all of us who wish against it. So they have the technology to do it. But what really sucks is that there's somebody who's a voiceover person right now is not getting paid.
That's what the chat's
because
saying.
This guy's, you know. And
I wonder if they're paying the family.
Right. Do they have to pay the family for this, or can they just do AI free of charge?
Well,
I don't know.
There's a whole thing in Hollywood where you like they might be able to use your likeness and not pay you to be in a movie. It's crazy.
It's really stinks. It sucks in every way. And I know that Hollywood and TV and they don't want it, yet they're using it to save money. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth because they're saying it's bad because we're costing actors and voice people jobs.
That's what we're doing.
But on the other side, we're doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
I'm not a fan of this. I'm nothing against the guy, but the chat is with us, kind of.
Yeah.
All right. Number 4. The Dallas Cowboys. They had made a trade for a number 2 wide receiver opposite Pro Bowler CeeDee Lamb, and they landed Steelers wide receiver George Pickens. I was very surprised at this morning.
Okay.
Cowboys and the Steelers agreed to the trade today that will send Pickens to Dallas for a 2026 third-round pick. Cowboys are also going to send a 2027 fifth-round pick to the Steelers, and they get back a 2027 sixth-round pick. So basically, it's a third-round pick next year.
Yeah, it's a third-round
pick. And then a fifth-rounder 2027. Okay, Chris, which team do you think this is better for?
I think it'll be, well, off the top, it seems like a really good land for the Cowboys. I mean, you've already got CeeDee Lamb. Now you got George Pickens. One problem with George Pickens, you have to put up with him. He's a pain in the ass.
He is.
And, you know, he's a diva, and he's everything that a lot of wide receivers are. If they can get George Pickens to come in and just, you know, play football, they're going to get themselves a really talented guy to go with CeeDee Lamb. That's two guys you have to try and cover. You know, I don't care about a third-round pick. I think that's stupid. But on the other side, this is the last year of his contract. So the Steelers figure they're going to lose him at the end of the year. So they might as well get something for him now. That's the Steelers' thinking. And the other thing is the Steelers already have DK Metcalf. And honestly, DK Metcalf plus George Pickens equals
like
a disaster.
Crazy wide receiver room. Not right. Crazy as in they're crazy, just a very...
Yeah. This might be addition by subtraction for the Steelers, honestly, as good as of talent as he is.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure,
but that's my thinking.
I think this is probably, it's going to benefit both. I think they come out even on this.
It might
because
be good
they
for
get,
both. Yeah.
They get rid of a quote-unquote problem, and they get some draft picks back. Also, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, George Pickens, I want him in fantasy if he's going to be CeeDee Lamb's number two wide receiver, because CeeDee Lamb is already good. Can you imagine what it's going to do for George Pickens that he gets a number one wide receiver?
Well,
is he going to be angry he's called the number two?
I would let you have him, because I think he'll go into a mental funk most Sundays when he doesn't get the ball right away. Because CeeDee Lamb's got to get the ball 8-9 times. So, right?
He does.
So George Pickens is going to have to take a back seat, and he's not going to like that.
Also, there's a lot more criticism in Dallas than there is in Pittsburgh. I mean, if you're not playing well, the whole country talks
about
it.
I think you're bringing up a point here that's interesting. Maybe when you go get a number two receiver, you should get a guy who is a number two receiver. Because two number ones
does not make two.
It may not work. You know, you got two guys that are fighting each other.
Or George Pickens can just, you know, go in and be like, hey, I'm playing with one of the greatest wide receivers in the league. I can learn from
him.
Don't
hold your breath for that to happen.
I can do some good things.
Don't hold your breath.
All right. What's the next one? Oh. We're going to get serious for a second. The Pirates have not had a good PR year. Whether it be them removing the Roberto Clemente sign from right field, or digging up all the rocks in front of the stadium, not rocks, bricks that people paid for in front of the stadium,
okay.
Or the fan that fell last week, which, by the way, apparently he's doing better. So that's good.
Yes, he's come alert a little bit.
Yes, but a PNC Park game day employee was suspended and subsequently fired after a physical altercation broke out between him and a fan following the Pirates and Padres game on Sunday. And a now viral video, I'm not going to show it here, but you can go find this. The PNC Park game day employee was seen punching the man at least three times following a verbal argument.
Is that wrong?
Is that wrong?
This is my George Costanza thing when they say something like that in Georgia. Was that wrong? Should I not have done that?
You know, if you have the whole story, I don't know that it's wrong. But
why, you think he should have punched this guy? What did this guy do?
Here it is. The Pirates team spokesperson said the verbal altercation started because this employee intervened between these two men verbally assaulting a female food and beverage employee. So this guy stepped in to defend his coworker.
Okay.
And then...
That part's good.
And then...
Right.
Dude gets in his face. Now the
spits
Pirates...
Spits on him?
Twice.
Okay.
Spits on him.
Yeah, you can't...
Now,
can't
here's where it gets a little crazy.
You can't punch the guy. I don't
he
care.
Punches
You're
him to get into a fight. He pulls out his belt and starts whipping this guy with the belt.
I think you've answered your own question here. I mean... You
should the man be fired? I'm up first.
Okay.
I think you need to fire the guy because you pulled out the belt. But I want to give this guy a little bit of credit for standing up for his coworker when some drunk idiot...
He gets
because
full credit.
Now we can do whatever we want in this world.
No, we can't.
And nothing happens to us.
He gets full credit for this, but you can't... I don't care. If I'm a basketball referee and a coach walks up to my... and says, I am... You name it. Or... You know, God forbid, ever disparages your performance on this show, I still can't punch the coach. I just can't. No matter what, I can't.
But if he spit on you?
I can't.
You spit on me?
I can't. I gotta wait till they get suspended for the rest of the year, which they would do, and I just have to deal with that. I'm in a position where I can't do it, so is this employee.
I think that he gets fired, yes, but I am not for... people doing whatever the heck they want and thinking it's okay. Just because you're at a baseball game and the person said maybe, I don't know this to be true, oh, we closed beer sales.
and then they get mad and they start yelling at the employee. That's what people are these days.
Have you ever heard the saying, the customer is always right?
And it's not, I hate that saying, because the customer is rarely right.
Yeah, but you have to do it that way. All right, move on. This is enough for this guy.
Okay. Number one. The belt was amazing, though.
The belt. He took his belt off?
He took it off.
You sit right there while I get my belt off.
But he like whipped it at him. You could hear it. Everything.
My goodness.
All right.
How come you're not playing this video? You play all kinds of other videos. Because you don't want us to see this one?
Yeah, because it's a lot. And it's like 3 minutes long.
I want to see
you
it after
me?
The show.
You want me to play
it
right
that's
now?
All right. No, we don't have time.
All right. After a 13-month process that included trademark drama, a YouTube leak, and more than 850,000 ballots cast by fans in multiple rounds of voting, the Utah Mammoth was revealed as the new name and permanent identity for the NHL franchise. Now, the owners, Ryan and Ashley Smith, said, when it came to naming the team, we did something unprecedented, going through 4 rounds of community voting, including getting feedback not only on potential names, but also on potential logos. The community chose the Utah Mammoth brand, and it stands as a symbol of who we are, where we came from, and the unstoppable force we are putting together.
Oh, yes. I'm pretty sure the rest of the NHL will be scared every time the Mammoth come trudging into their arena.
I just put up the jerseys on the YouTube right now. The question is, do you like this?
Nah, Chris? Mediocre. I'll be honest with you. If you look around the NHL, the Predators have a very similar logo. The Sabres used to have a similar logo. Everybody who's a Wildcat has the face of an animal with teeth, dangerous teeth.
I do see tight sabers.
This is pretty much what the Mammoth is doing. It's an animal with, these tusks instead of teeth. It's not a big deal to me. I don't like the name Mammoth because it doesn't end in an S. I don't like teams that don't end in an S unless you're the Red Sox or the White Sox. So I think, you're trying to be cool by saying you're the Mammoth. But you're not cool. It's not cool in any way. And I still believe you, Scraby.
What?
I believe that Yeti actually won, and I think that they just didn't want to go with Yeti because of all those other stories that came out.
The cooler.
Right. So they just said, you know what? Mammoth won. Right? They don't have to release any proof of that. They can just say whoever won, whoever they want to say won.
At least, I mean...
Isn't that true?
Yeah. I'm looking at the logo, and like you said... I think the logo is cool, but it is way too similar to what the Nashville Predators logo looks like.
Yes, I
way
told you the similar. Predators. I told you it was almost the same.
Gator Padre on the chat said something hilarious.
Okay.
An extinct animal is not unstoppable.
No kidding. Thank you.
Which
yes.
is very true.
Yes. Why don't you just name yourself the Utah Dinosaurs?
Yeah, or the Dodos or something
the
like
Dodo
that.
The Dodo Birds.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, this isn't my favorite of all time.
I like the logo. It's they could right. have been more creative.
Could have
all.
Been something different. Everybody, I mean, I don't know. How about a Bigfoot-looking animal type of character?
Don't they already have one of those?
The Grizzlies.
Oh.
I don't think there is a Grizzlies in the NHL. The Utah
Who
minor,
has a gorilla?
The minor
oh, the Suns.
The minor league team, when the Gulls used to play in Utah, they were called the Grizzlies. That team. And
okay.
I thought that was a pretty good name, actually. But
that
this,
is
this
name.
Doesn't work for me very well.
Oh, my so, gosh.
What? What happened?
Hold on.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
For the Padres tonight in New York, except for Jose Iglesias plays second base and bats eighth. Martin Maldonado catches tonight and bats ninth. Gavin Sheets, lefty on lefty, is in the lineup as the DH tonight. I don't believe that has happened prior to this. But remember, Luis Camposano was sent down. They don't have... And so is Connor Joe. They don't, and Yuli Gurriel's gone. They don't have another right-handed hitter.
Yes.
To face a lefty. So Gavin Sheets could be in there. Jackson Merrill is in the cleanup spot tonight. It certainly was very nice to see him come right in and start swinging last night.
Yeah, so. That the first hit, and then you got the double.
Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Good
so,
stuff.
Sam Levitt will have all of the stuff for you. Get you ready. I'm sure he'll have some of those fun statistics, like it's been 14 years since the Padre bullpen gave up 10 runs in a game. Maybe he won't have that. If he doesn't, you now have it anyway. Scraby and I have a full show tomorrow from 2 to 5.
Yep.
And Tony Gwynn Jr. Mm-hmm. will be on the whole show.
Yeah.
He'll be in Denver as the Padres will travel there after the game tonight. So don't miss it tomorrow. Three big hours. And don't forget the roundtable in the morning. We'll see you later.
Bye.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
Hey, it's Chris Ello from Gwen and Chris, the voice of reason on an otherwise crazy and out of control show. Listen for yourself, Gwen and Chris, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on 97.3 The Fan.
And Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey everyone, Tony Gwynn Jr. here. Here to tell you about my friends at San Diego County Credit Union, where you can experience better banking. Open a free checking with eStatements account at sdccu.com and bank on the go anytime, anywhere, and start experiencing banking that's better anywhere you go. It's easy to check your balances, deposit checks, pay bills, and more just about anywhere through your smartphone, 24/7. Need cash on the go? No problem. Access any of SDCCU's 30,000 surcharge-free ATMs. And remember, being an SDCCU member isn't just about banking. It's about you. SDCCU has been voted best for 25 years in a row in the San Diego Union-Tribune Readers Poll. Make the move and switch to SDCCU today or start a new account and experience better banking. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big bank banking, it's better. Message and data rates apply. Membership required. Federally insured by the NCUA. For details or to open your account today, visit SDCCU.